This is tape recording number 6309CO3, a lecture given by L. Ron Hubbard on the 3rd of September, 1963. This tape is 81 minutes long.
What is the well-known date?
September 3, 1813,
St. Hill Special Briefing Course. And we had a lecture on R3SC. Notice, Mom, no hands. No papers, no notes. Cold like that. All right. Now, once upon a time, we had something called a rock slammer. You remember the history of the rock slammer? Mm-hmm. All right. You did a Scientology list one, which is not the L1 in that bulletin, but the old Scientology list one. And what did you find in this? You found that occasionally as you went down the line, you picked up a tick, and when you put in the big midroods on that particular tick, you all of a sudden got yourself a nice, handsome rock slam. So you say auditing to somebody and you got a rock slam, right? You remember this technology. Well, this meant that something was going to go wrong in the vicinity of auditing with regard to this person by reason of aberration. Now, of course, punitively, we said at once all rock slammers were bad and they all ought to be shot and so forth until we found out that practically everybody rock slammed. And then, of course, we had to come off of it. But that isn't all that we came off of. We just dropped that piece of know-how in the mire and let it lie. You notice suddenly we weren't saying anything about that at all. Well, that didn't mean that I forgot it completely. That didn't mean that it was utterly gone. As far as I was concerned. But I had seen some phenomena which I definitely had to straighten out. And that phenomena had to do with the reason a person doesn't recover under auditing. Now that's the whole department head that heads up that whole department, the reason the person doesn't recover under auditing. Now, this has been with us, actually, since 1948. It must have been present then. I didn't run into it head on until about 1950, and it became very crucial in 1950. One of the reasons this would peak up is that in the type of auditing which I was doing in 1950, there was a great deal of slippiness. A lot of it was very slippy. And there was a lot of this and that would work its way through. And you didn't have a hard, tightly bound process, you see. And as soon as you got a tightly bound process that was limited to running of engrams, you ran into this phenomenon of people not getting well. So again, we have run into engrams, and again, we all of a sudden come up with this interesting datum, but not for the same reason. People who just don't recover. Now, in my catalog of things to be done, this business of rock slammers and reasons why people didn't get well continued to ride right along there and take a prominent position in looking over all new things. And all of a sudden I collided with the old service facsimile. But the collide was rather oblique. And the way we collided with that was by a study of the tonearm, the necessity to get tonearm motion, and the various positions of the tonearm. Now all of that material, which you've had in a recent lecture, very germane to this. It became obvious that if an individual were audited for 3 sessions without tonearm action, he got into pretty terrible condition. Bad show. Therefore, you had to audit with tone arm action. I don't say he fell to pieces, but he just wasn't feeling well. He didn't feel so good. You'd find his session goals became gloomier and gloomier. In other words, you could predict any time that a case was going to feel not so good by noting that he had no tone arm action during the session you had just run. And this I tested out. And I tested this out. I watched it, coordinated it, and so forth. No vast series of cases, but that wasn't necessary. I had a considerable background on all this material. Now, there we are. Person gets no TA action during a session. Person doesn't feel so good. Three sessions, they feel pretty wog. No TA action. So we mustn't run without TA action. So it became very, very important to find out what was stopping TA action. And there are several reasons why TA action stopped. The basic reasons are still those. All the reasons I have given there are very valid reasons. But they fall away from the very high theoretical to the very easily applied practical aspect of it. And the practical aspect of it indicated just this, that an individual would release charge or an individual wouldn't release charge, and that's about all it came down to. Now, that you are getting, now get these slight divisions here, that you are getting tone arm action does not guarantee that your PC will feel better. Now, that is one for you there. Doesn't guarantee your PC is going to feel better. But getting no TA action guarantees that your PC is going to feel worse. Do you see that? See? So you haven't got quite a yes or no. Now, why the individual who gets TA action doesn't necessarily feel better is contained in re-stimulation and over-re-stimulation. The individual is over-re-stimulated. The stimulation is too high, and yet the charge is still releasing. Now, that's quite interesting there. You've got maybe 15 sources of charge that can be released, and they're all in re-stimulation. And you're only running one of them, so you're releasing charge off of that one. Let your PC's attention wander off of what you are running, and you instantly have added more re-stimulation to the case. All you have to do is be a clumsy auditor at level 4 auditing on the ITSA line, and you've had it. Now, let's grade up auditors here. Let's grade up auditors just in passing. One, well, we just leave it on accident whether the guy gets TA action or not. We hope he gets TA action, see? Class one, we just hope he does. And it's not going to endanger anybody very much because the fundamental questions that they're being asked are very unfundamental. They're being asked how they cured their lumbosis or something of the sort. All right, so they don't get TA action. So the guy gets a percentage of wins, and he gets a percentage of loses, and we just hope the percentage of wins that the auditor gets at that level are greater than the percentage of loses, and that he doesn't get discouraged about it all and so forth. We just hope, you understand? Because, frankly, at that level of training, we can't do anything else. See, look at the amount of technical material which goes into this, and you see at once that it's too formidable. This guy would go on, he have to go on for months or years of training before he would come up to being able to cope with that situation. Well, it's a very small price to pay, because the funny part of it is now with the ITSA line, we can take that chance very nicely and come out with a great deal of percentage of wins. But you recognize that the auditor at that level is taking that chance that he's going to run some sessions without TA action. He's going to listen to a lot of natter, and he's going to listen to this, and he's going to listen to that, and he's going to get a certain number of service facsimile type cases that don't get TA action. You see, he's not going to get any TA action. And this isn't seriously going to put somebody in the hospital or anything like that, because the process isn't that strong, don't you see? that it's going to be the guy just doesn't really think auditing is getting him anyplace. That sort of thing, you know, and he just feels gloomier than he would ordinarily feel, and so on. Well, what's happening with all this? Well, we can't expect at the level of training of Class 1 for the auditor to be able to remedy it. And of course, the second that you, instructing auditors and so forth, come back to remedy this situation, you are no longer operating in the zone or area of Class 1, and you are actually trying to make a Class 2 auditor. So you see, that still stays with the definition. You start saying to this guy, the moment you start saying to this guy, hey, for God's sakes, read those rules. Man, read those rules in that R1C. Read them. You're asking this person for problems, problems, problems. What problems have they had in life, and what have they been trying to solve in life? That's a backwards question, man. Of course, that TA is going to stick. You know, well, you're working on Class 2, see? Straight away. So, you see, the condition still remains as it is in Class 1, which is a relatively uninstructed auditor. All right, now we move up into Class 2. We get with tone arm action. And the way we handle it there is actually not with the change and shift of processes beyond just altering the question a bit, but we get listening with tone arm action, and that means that a certain amount of direction of attention is going to have to be done, even if it's just directed by the question that is being asked. What have you done about your lumbosis? See? Now, he's supposed to know the rules of what not to ask, and so on, to get TA action, and he's got some various ramifications there that are pretty good. And he can do some things in this line, but it's very light attention direction, don't you see? Very light, indeed. In fact, we don't even instruct him to direct attention. We rather tend to instruct him not to direct attention. For instance, don't drop the E-meter, you see? All right, we get up to Class 3, and what do we got? What do we got at Class 3? We've got a direction of attention at Class Level 3 towards service facsimiles and the state of clear. Now we're starting to drop out this endless wandering ITSA line. Don't you see? We're starting to clip this guy for letting the PC's attention wander off too far into other subject matter. We're supposed, that auditor at the level of 3 is supposed to be able to control the PC's attention, to keep the PC's attention on what the PC is supposed to be talking about. We get the limitation of attention is what enters in here, see, to some degree. We start telling the fellow, now, don't let this PC start wandering around on the early track, and don't do this, and don't do that, and keep the PC's attention centered on what you're trying to run, and don't let the PC's attention wander over into his environmental restimulation, and if it is there, clean it up with sense midroots. See, at this level, we're using midroots. We're knocking down environmental attention. We're paying a lot of attention to the PC's attention at Class Level 3. Now, that control of the PC's attention is at a very high, you see, there at 3. That's pretty high now. This PC is really being put in the groove. This PC is supposed to talk about A and B, and his attention is supposed to be freed up from C and D so that he will talk about A and B. You get the idea. In other words, here's control. Control of attention here is getting rather heavy. It's fine. Has to be. Now, let's take Class Level 4. Man, you're living with a lightning now. You've got this PC on a backtrack. You've got this PC there. You've got him on stuff that is quite overwhelming. All he has to do is skid around inside the GPM. All he's got to do is say, let me go back up and pick up those two early items that we missed. Zoop! And he throws 40 RIs into restimulation. Why? Because he had to walk through 40 RIs to pick it up that are only, you see, that are not properly discharged. All right, that isn't so bad, you see. Let me repair. Oh, I see what this item is. Let me repair it in the earlier goal. And then, much to your embarrassment, you have missed the GPM between these two goals, and he returns up to the earlier goal and throws a whole GPM into restimulation consisting of some 230 items in the Helitrobus. Look, you're walking across Grand Canyon on a wire 1 millimeter thick. Now, if you see the various classes in terms of expertness of control of the PC's attention, all will start to make sense to you on the subject of these classes. If you only see these on the complexity of the information the auditor has, auditing will not occur. Oh, well, yeah, you know all about GPMs, you know all about engrams, you know all about processes, you know all about this, and you know all about that, and therefore you're class 4. No, 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 no. There could be that one element missing, Control the PC's attention with expertise, and you would not have a class 4 auditor. Now, you start letting the PC talk. You start putting in the ITSA line on the backtrack. I've done it myself. I know exactly what I'm talking about because I've got a good subjective reality on that sort of thing. Hey, I just had a cognition. There's a this and a that and a though and a thee. And down there in that engram, there's a spot and a bolt and a... Oh, my God. Bow. The roof falls in. You got the idea? Suddenly throw into restimulation 15 or 20 chains of something. Just with a nice cognition. There is something earlier. Zoom. See? Now, the auditor in that particular case wouldn't even have time to open their mouth. You know, PC sitting there in a brown study, you think he's looking over the next RI, you know. PC all of a sudden says, I think this came from, yeah, there's a GPM there about 18 trillion years ago. Oh, yeah, oh, yes, there it is. And it's there and there. And that fits into the other two. And it comes up to here. And then that is what gives you the background music of all that. What's the matter with my throat? The auditor actually doesn't have time to say a word. Now, how does that situation take place? That situation takes place when the case is already over-restimulated. Greasy on the track. Tension hard to control. Greasy on the track. Now, if this PC is quite a bear cat, he will go right on getting tone arm action, but very uncomfortably. He'll go right on getting the tone arm action necessary to resolve the case, that's for sure. But he's running in an atmosphere of exhaustion, of worry. Misemotion comes up here, there. In other words, he's a bit overwhelmed all the time. You see, you've gotten up to the point of over-restimulation. And with this over-restimulation now in progress, you're still discharging things. Do you see? Case still runs. But the case isn't comfortable while running. Case will still make it. But doesn't feel like you're getting many auditing wins, see? Awful hard grind. Spend most of the time between sessions in a fog, don't you think? Case still making it and tone arm running. Now let's add this other liability. Now you see that we've gone over some difficulties here. Now let's really clobber it. Let's say that this case we're doing this with has a fragile tone arm to begin with, which is susceptible to being stuck low or stuck high or stuck dead thing. Let's add that liability to all this other complexity. Now, what do you think's going to happen? Well, the auditor's going to spend all of his sessions worrying about the PC. And the PC may or may not spend any sessions worrying about auditing or between sessions, but just going around the bleh, or having a bad time or being very nattery or something. But the auditor's wild. Auditor's trying to get tone arm action. And he keeps looking. He comes back into the session. He finally got tone arm action in the last session. Oh, boy, finally got it. He got 4 blowdowns of 1 division in the whole session. Oh, it's fine. That's more than he'd seen for a long time and so forth. And he comes back in, and he got this PC halfway through a GPM, don't you see? all he got to do now the next session is pick it up and finish it. And he, you know, was getting tonearm action, more tonearm action. And you run some GPMs, you know, and you get tonearm action. That's obvious. Yeah, wonderful. Well, that's obvious and so forth. And he comes back in and there's the tonearm. Well, he says something must have keyed in between sessions. Something must have keyed in. This tone arm sitting here at about 6.5. Something must have keyed in between sessions. All right. Something keyed in between sessions. All right. Since the last time I audited you. Now, when was that? When was the last time I audited you? Last time now. When was that? PC finally thinks and thinks and thinks and thinks and finally remembers. No tone arm action. Now, since the last time I audited you, has anything been suppressed? There it sits. Right on down through all of those buttons, there it sits. PC tells you all sorts of things, but there it sits. You say, that's obvious enough to give anybody tone arm action, but there it sits. Horrible. You say, well, if I can just finish off the rest of this GPM... Now, in this session, if I can just finish off the rest of the GPM, you say, all right, now let's pick it up at the last item where we left it, and so forth. And the PC says, last item. What's the last item? Oh, last item. It was absolutely coughing, you know. And so on. Let's pick it up. And the PC says that, and the needle doesn't twitch, and nothing happens, and nothing moves. And you realize suddenly that if you stay there any longer... This PC is liable to do around the clock and go into maybe a low tone arm case or something like that. You realize that you're looking at something here which can't hold because you're getting absolutely no discharge at all. And you hit the silk. And you get out of that. And you say you're going to put in the Ipsiline on auditing. Are you going to do prep check on auditing? Are you going to take anything that you've had as a good way, you know, to key off the case? So forth. Now, in this particular case we're talking about, this tone arm here, let us say, has gone at 5.75. So you say, all right, we'll just destimulate the auditing. That's easy. Just destimulate the auditing, and we'll get tone arm action back, obviously. So you say, all right, now on auditing, how many years you've been audited or something like that, how many months? Has anything been suppressed? And of course, you get the same story as the sense midroots. There it sits at 5.75. No tone arm action. The restimulation is now too great to permit even the discharge of the key in. That's what you've run into. In other words, you're running this case downhill on a toboggan. And it all traces back to what? Now, you see, this is quite a problem I've outlined to you here. And I see from the looks on some of your faces that you yourselves have had something like this problem. Now, the resolution of this problem is therefore pretty gargantuan. And that's what, just to get it all in line, that's what's been resolved with service facsimile. Service facsimile, in actual fact, is not an accusative thing. It is simply a solution that the individual has himself so restimulated that it won't discharge and nothing will discharge past it. In other words, it's a solution that is so valuable, so survival, so magnificent, that if one got rid of it as a solution, one would, of course, perish at once. Like a wax effigy, you see, would just melt right there and be gone. Too horrible to contemplate getting rid of this solution. Actually, it is simply an overcharged solution. That is all it is. Now, how does it get so overcharged? Well, it's because the PC is restimulating it. It isn't being restimulated by life. There's volition going on here. The PC himself is keeping this thing kicked in. This girl has life solved. has life solved. Don't eat. Every time the boss is mean to her, something like that happens, well, she says, I don't have to eat. That's the good, sensible solution to the whole thing. Therefore, really, I don't really need a job. I really don't need anything. The husband, he's a little bit mean, nattery, upset some evening. So she says she knows what to do about this. He don't eat. Dinner accidentally burns or something like this. And one of the children gets upset, something like that. Well, he knows what to do about that. Kid just won't eat, that's all. He's had it. See? And all of this is so complicated and so filled with ramifications that it actually has become a survival computation. And it sits there. It sits there like a mountain rising out of the plain or a dam across a river. And no charge can flow by it, because if charge were permitted to flow by it. You see, the difference between our rationale and so forth is we know people do things. See, it's not on the automatic push-button type mentality of Pavlov, you see, and what the rest of these birds, fellas. Push-button mentality, you see, so that it's always caused by some mechanical thing. No, well, there's also a being there. He's also up to something. And that's the further complication, don't you see? The person can do something. Now, if you tell somebody that the survival computation is not to eat, if you told somebody else, they'd say, you're nuts. But not this one. That is the survival computation. Well, naturally, it's aberrated. But unfortunately for this being, it works. Hubby always gets in line. The kids always shut up. Don't you see? And she can relax enough about her job or doing what she's doing so that by saying, well, I don't have to eat, you see, that actually that sort of, she stops attacking in that zone and sphere. And it actually has some weird, backwards, upside-down survival computation, see. So what it is a non-survival solution which has become survival. And it doesn't make sense. Not even to the person when they begin to take it apart. It really doesn't make sense. But it appears to make sense. It appears to make sense. And that solution can become so fixed in the activities of the individual that the individual feels that if it were disturbed in any way, life would become unlivable. And this can be a pretty batty solution. Maybe you're looking at a service facsimile when you look at a suicide type of thing. The way to live is to dive off the top of the Empire State Building. See? Now you say, that's nutty. But the funny part of it is when you run it, if it weren't so pathetic, you'd probably be able to sit there and just almost ruin your stitches because this, it's wild. I mean, how this thing works out. I mean, the way the put together, the A equals A equals A, and the disassociate and so forth of this is so fantastic. And very often in the early stages of it, the PC will sit there and they give it to you with such a straight face and with such a solution to the whole thing. And, well, yes, obviously. Obviously, the way to cure a fear of height is to fall off the Empire State Building or something like this. If it be something fantastic, even that's too sensible. Well, what it is a solution which has become fixed and which the individual is actually working with. And maybe they've been overwhelmed by this solution. It's explainable in bank terms, too. But the individual keeps that chain or channel in re-stimulation. And then you start to audit the engrams of this thing, and all the individual sells you is bring up more engrams of this thing, but oddly enough, they won't erase. And this was another source of search. The other source of search, of course, was why do some engrams erase and some engrams not erase? That is an old, idle datum. Been kicking around for a long time. Some engrams grind out and some discharge. Why? Some PCs turn on mass when you prep check them, and some don't. Mostly don't, but some do. What's with this PC who does? What's with this PC who can't erase this particular engram? You go over on the left and right of this engram channel, and you can find engrams that will erase, but the PC never gives you those. They only give you the engram channel. That's because they're obsessively restimulating this particular channel in the bank. They're obsessively restimulating it because it's survival to have that. Therefore, they will sell you, as the auditor, that particular channel if it is a service facsimile, because their penchant is to keep it restimulated, so they always sell you that channel. And then you, you knucklehead, you're going to run it out, man. Why, you pick, if that person is a service facsimile case, which not all cases run this way, fortunately. Unfortunately for us, many cases run quite easily and smoothly without any of these complications, don't you see? In fact, a little more than half of your cases will run smoothly without these computations. Well, that makes it bad, don't you see? Because then you're unable to understand this other percentage of cases that doesn't run smoothly. See? So you say these techniques work, but on some cases they don't work. Well, therefore, you have to bring the broad line of restimulation and so forth. Aberration is always of some use. At some time or another, anybody's aberration on any subject has been of some use to them. Always. You can trace it always. You can trace it back. It's been of some use. Otherwise, they wouldn't keep mocking it up. But it normally doesn't amount to this fixed service facsimile level crash, you see? And it erases. And it handles up. And the guy cognites on it. And it straightens up. And all that sort of thing happens. But on a service facsimile, none of these things occur. The engrams don't erase. The prep checks don't work. The tools of the game are suddenly null and void, apparently, unless you know this little secret channel down through the middle of it. And that secret channel is advised by any tone arm trouble. That doesn't mean that for a quarter of a session, since you always get the top of the GPM almost always early on in a case, you're going to find the tone arm hung up high or something like that. The tone arm normally will hang up on the first 15, 20 items of a GPM and then suddenly loosen up and tone arm action restores. That's on a Hellotrobus type GPM. In the first stages of hitting a GPM, you normally will get a bit of a lockup. That's beside the point. That's just a point in the session where the thing locks up. No, we're talking about the case that gives you trouble with a tone arm. The case that is a dead thetan, a low tone arm case, a high tone arm case, or a case whose tone arm hangs up at the drop of a hat. The full, complete diagnosis of the case is done with the tone arm. Not with how loopy they're acting in life. I think anybody on this planet is acting loopy in life, see? If you put it up against survival standards, you'd find it was very non-survival. You cannot be human and be right. So there's no reason at all to try to trace it back analytically or medically psychiatrically. Say he's got schizobonga or something, you see. There's no sense in any of this. This is all for the birds. There isn't any reason to do it off of a graph. There isn't any reason to do it off of any of your tests. Nothing. The only place you really see this is by putting the PC on an E-meter. And then, if the PC's tone arm looks all right, running the PC a while to see if you run into the trouble. You see, you could even be fooled, and some of you will be, by a dead thetan case. It merely has a clear read and a tight needle. Maybe the person isn't a dead thetan case. Maybe they're just sitting in the middle of a bump of some kind or another that's got the needle slightly tight. And you ask them one question, you practically have a free needle. So needles change in their characteristic. This may be hard to analyze, but that's the only state that is hard to analyze. The low tone arm, the high tone arm, the second you put them on the meter, the low tone arm, the dead thetan, definitely, always, service fact case. Dead thetan, service fact. Bang, bang, that's all. This person cannot get discharge in life. In the process of living, he discharges no aberration. So living is a very, very aberrative thing to him. He's right up against it there. There's no accidental discharge of anything. Give him a birthday present, he doesn't say, hey, what do you know, you know? And his tone arm move, even though you haven't got him on the meter. See? No, nothing like that ever occurs. This guy's tone arm's fixed all the time, all the time, all the time. See? Always fixed. And as he lives, he gets unhappier and unhappier. Life becomes crueler and crueler. Eventually becomes a newspaper reporter, you know. It's a very weird thing how many newspaper reporters I've seen who've dead taken cases. Their stimulation of life is too high for their level of understanding. Now, the low tone arm case, definitely service facsimile. All you have to do is put somebody on the tone arm, see it's got a low tone arm, see it's hanging down below two here. Nah, service facsimile. That's it. The diagnosis right now, bang. You just know. High, questionable, but probable. You can question it, but it's probable. That you just accidentally put somebody on the tone arm, you just put somebody on the meter, and you find his tone arm is reading high. That's enough. Service fact. Now, case down here at 3.5, 3.75, something like that, with a fairly decent needle and so forth. Some possibility still exists that this is a service facsimile case. So it goes from some possibility still exists to maybe, maybe not, but probable on a high tone arm case. Low tone arm case. Yes, 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 nothing else. Dead thetan case, well, you're lucky if you can get them to talk to you long enough to give you the service facsimile. Definitely service facsimile cases. So any difficulty with this tone arm, any difficulty with this tone arm, now I'm talking about tone arm difficulty, I'm not talking about difficulty with a case. You know, difficulty getting the PC into things and difficulty getting them out of things. And you can have a thousand different things that could be difficult in running a case. Well, just it's just difficult to run cases. That's not diagnosis. That's just a banality. Oh, well, this guy, every time you let him anywhere near the back track, why, he all of a sudden starts picking up things at trillions eight, then there's one at trillion 13, and then there's one at trillion six, and so forth. Yeah, you have trouble with this guy. You have trouble limiting his line, getting him into something, and so forth. Well, the case is simply overstimulated. You could use the same technology and possibly hope you could find a service facsimile on him to cool it down. Wonder why this stuff doesn't bleed off faster, why the case restimulates himself to this degree. Maybe it still lies in the realm and zone of a service facsimile, you see. Possibility that it does. It's worth scouting. Worth scouting. But all these troubles I'm talking about are troubles with the tone arm. Anybody's got a troublesome tone arm that's giving you a bad time, won't move enough, gets stuck in these three positions with great ease. Oh, man, you're looking at service facsimile case. Now, what you're doing is looking at the normal river of discharge blocked up with a great big high stable datum. Horses sleep in beds. With this slight trimmings, he knows that if he gets rid of this, and if he no longer believed that horses slept in bed, oh, cut his throat, finish him.
This lecture is continued on side two of this cassette.